This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, in the words of the psalmist today, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. It is important to declare. We look back at our Declaration of Independence. Over 200 years ago, a group of people declared that which they wished a country to be and to become. And ever since then, we have worked on becoming it. Our president gave his inaugural address, and he declared what his vision was for our country for the next 4 years, what he would like us to be and to become. Jesus today declares. It is really his inaugural address. It is what he is declaring his vision is for his ministry. It is what he declares he is to be and who he wants to become. To understand this fully and its implications for us, let's look at where this comes in Luke's gospel. Jesus has gone to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. And in that baptism, Jesus has said, I accept this ministry, this challenge that God has put before me. As a result of that, the voice of his Father from heaven is heard. This is my beloved Son. It is the Father of Jesus giving recognition and acknowledging that, yes, you're doing the right thing. Immediately after that, Jesus goes out into the desert and he's tempted by the devil. And the devil, if you remember from that story we hear every year, tries to detract him from his mission three different ways, and Jesus does not give in to any of the three. And as a result, he is made more firm in the ministry of who he knows he is to be and to become. And so now he goes about. Luke tells us he starts speaking in their synagogues. And now he comes to his hometown and speaks in this synagogue, and he declares. He declares the truth, who he is and who he is to become. He quotes that beautiful passage from Isaiah 61. And then he finishes and he sits down. You know that reading I just read, he says. I'm the guy. And Luke tells us that they were all amazed by Jesus saying that. But the story doesn't end there. We don't hear that part, because Jesus goes on and starts talking about what this means. And by the end of chapter 4, they drive Jesus out of town. They want to throw him off a cliff. But as Luke tells us, he walks through their midst and escapes. Now, with that whole story, full circle, the first takeaway from us for this gospel is, I think, to reflect on the following. Who is the person or the persons in your life who have been the most like Jesus in the gospel today? Who is the person or the persons who have spoken the truth about you to you in such a powerful, raw, and stunning way that you wanted to kill them? I can think of at least 5 times in my life where that is the case. Where somebody chose with courage to say something to me that was so threatening that was so scary, that seemed to be so maybe hurtful, but was exactly true. That I didn't want to hear it, but I needed to hear it. The important thing for us is to recognize the courage of those people who have done that for us, and to acknowledge it and give thanks. That's one takeaway for us. When the truth has been spoken and declared to us. But what about us declaring the truth about ourselves? You know, God declares, let there be light, and poof, there's light. Let there be oceans and birds in the sky and fish in the sea, and poof, it happens. Just by God declaring it, it comes to be. Now, we don't have that kind of power, but we have partially that kind of power, because when we declare something, it helps us to start to become it. We declare each time we come to church, every amen we say. We declare that the prayer that we just heard, maybe that's not true for me right now, but it's really what I would like to be. And so I say amen. Every time we renew our baptismal vows at Easter time, every time we say the creed, every time a couple renews the vows of their marriage, they declare it and they help to bring it about. It becomes so important for us to declare. And it becomes important for us to declare the truth about ourselves, especially in terms of our gifts and our talents. The second reading that's appointed for today, that's in the back of your leaflet, I encourage you to read it as you go home, because it is one of Paul's most powerful writings, and he talks about the gifts and the talents that God has given uniquely to each one of us, that we are called to declare and to claim and proclaim, because in doing so, it enables us to already be on the pathway to becoming that. You might remember a little video clip that I showed some years ago, and it shows this little boy, and he wants to be a baseball player. And so he goes out, and he's got a baseball and a bat, and he declares, I'm the greatest hitter in the world! And he throws the ball up, and it comes down, and he swings, and he misses. Strike one. He picks the ball up again, and he says, I'm the greatest hitter in the world! And he throws the ball up, it comes down, he swings and misses, strike two. Exasperated, he throws the ball up a third time. Comes down again, he swings, I'm the greatest hitter in the world! Strike three. And you would think that that boy would be so disheartened and disillusioned, but he pauses for a moment, and the light goes off in his head, and he proclaims, I'm the greatest pitcher in the world! In the declaring in our lives, there was a certain becoming that starts to happen for us. There is a fable that is told from the Indian tradition that makes this point very powerfully. It goes like this. A water bearer in India had two large pots. Each hung on either end of a pole which he carried across his neck. One of the pots had a crack in it. And the other pot was perfect and always delivered a full portion of water at the end of the long walk from the stream to the master's house. But the cracked pot always arrived only half full. For 2 years, this went on every day, with the bearer delivering only 1.5 pots of water to his master's house. The poor cracked pot was ashamed of its own imperfection. Miserable that it was able to accomplish only half of what it had been made to do. The water bearer felt sorry for the old cracked pot, and in his compassion he said, As we return today to the master's house, I want you to notice the beautiful flowers along the path. The bearer said to the pot, Did you notice that there were flowers only on your side of the path, but not on the other pot's side. That's because I've always known about your flaw. I took advantage of it. I planted flower seeds on your side of the path. And every day while we walk back from the stream, you've watered the flowers. For 2 years, I have been able to pick these beautiful flowers to decorate my master's table. Without you being just the way you are, he would not have this beauty to grace his house. Declare your gift. One other thing we can take away from this reading. We proclaim the truth as well by our words as well as by our deeds. And the more we are able to declare it through our deeds, the more we become it. C.S. Lewis, the great Christian writer, writes in his book Mere Christianity the following: Do not waste your time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Just act as if you did. As soon as we do this, we find one of the great secrets. When you are behaving as if you loved someone, you will presently come to love them more. If you injure someone you dislike, you will find yourself disliking the person more. If you do the person a good turn, you will find yourself disliking them less. A powerful instance of this last example took place yesterday at the funeral of Stan the Man Musial, a great baseball player, awarded by the president with the highest award last year that a civilian can get, because not only was he a great baseball player, but even more an incredible person and humanitarian. Stan, before he died, had asked Bob Costas to be one of the eulogists at his funeral. And at the funeral yesterday, Bob chose to recall a story that involved not only one of his heroes, Stan the Man, but also another one of his friends and heroes, Mickey Mantle. In the telling of the story, it comes another example of declaring by the way we live our truth. Let's watch the clip.
In the late 1980s or early 1990s, Mickey Mantle stayed at our house in St. Louis for a few nights. Mickey was having a very tough time in his life. It was before he went to Betty Ford. He was drinking heavily. We had a dinner, and I decided that it would make Mickey feel comfortable if people he knew were there, so we invited Stan and Lil for dinner. And Mickey said, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm not going to have a single drink all day today or all night out of respect for Stan. I don't want to do anything foolish when Stan is here. And the night went on, and many laughs were had and stories were told. And then after everyone left and everyone else had gone to sleep, it was just me and Mickey sitting there talking well after midnight. And Mickey Mantle, who was a flawed but somehow always lovable man, said something that was searingly honest and also, in its own way, eloquent. He said, you know, I had as much ability as Stan, maybe more. Nobody had more power than me. Nobody could run any faster than me. But Stan was a better player than me because he's a better man than me. Because he got everything out of his life and out of his ability that he could. And he'll never have to live with all the regret that I live with.
To be searingly honest with the truth about ourselves. May we declare it. May we claim it. May we live it. Amen.